So when we last played, you guys were kind of trolling around the Tribewar Travelers, trying to see if you could scope out some evidence of Sharky's men or Sharky themselves, I believe. You came face to face with Rock the Dwayne Johnson, and then that was kind of the end of that session. So where we're picking up, I think that you guys are still kind of like shaking off the dust of what had happened, and you're still there, right, at the warehouse?
Yes. I feel like we had just decided we were going to go and try and get into the bar.
I thought we were going to see your boyfriend.
Yeah, at the bar, right? Oh, wait, no, at his place?
I don't know.
He wanted to meet you at the bar, right? That was what he was like. That was his offer.
Yeah.
Did we actually decide what our plan of attack was going to be, as far as how we were going to? Are we using Finch's bait? What's good? What's happening?
Yes.
Okay.
How do you feel about being bait, Finch?
She was really pumped about it the last time.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Well, naturally, I didn't write a single thing down about it.
Why would you? It's D&D.
Yeah. Well, so I know we had talked about the idea of her potentially announcing her run for campaign to draw out Sharky in the same way that they've been trying to ruin the current Lord Protectors. Kind of hold digs. Is that just for goofs, or is that what's up?
My run?
Yeah.
I remember this.
Oh my god.
Do you really? Nobody?
It has been a long day of day drinking for all of us.
Yeah, we decided we were one of the things that I threw out, and we had thrown out I don't remember any of the other things, but I do remember that we were like, hey, if we got to the thing and made a big old ruckus at Wainwright's and was like, surprise, Finch is running for office, everybody vote for Finch, then maybe that would force Sharky to come pick a fight with us.
It is such a great idea, yeah. And I wish that we had a bard to talk her up right now. I wish we had our bard. I think that's a great idea. We could, like, you know, say, like, saviors of, what was the other town we saved? The one with the goblin problem?
Oh.
Melton? Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, we got a little folk hero status going on.
Yeah, I think so. Man, this really would be a great time to have a bard companion. It's a shame that that's not a thing we have.
Are any of us good public speakers? Because I will say that I am not.
I can talk myself up.
I don't know that Bucktool deals in words. Mostly just fists.
I can talk myself up.
Like, I want you to have someone. I can do okay. I'm not great. I don't have much experience.
Maybe we just all get really drunk. And then once people are feeling our vibe, we're like, hey. Hey, buy Finch drinks. She's running for office.
Yeah.
Isn't she really cool?
Like it. Subtle.
Absolutely, yes.
Yep.
Buy her many drinks. Sounded really witchy the way it said. Buy her many drinks.
I feel like I'm pretty pro go to the bar, make a sizable but friendly ruckus, and then announce Finch's plan in the hopes of Sharky coming. Arsene, how does that make you feel?
I don't have any opinion. I think it's fine.
Thought you were gonna say I don't have feeling.
Pretty much.
Cool, then let's go do it. Free drinks.
Sounds good.
Yeah, star wipe to Wainwright's.
Okay, cool. So yeah, you guys would definitely have things to sort of fill your time in the marketplace and kind of spend your time doing whatever up until about 9 p.m. when Wainwright's. I mean, you guys can, as the time gets closer, you can see there's a small crowd forming outside of Wainwright's waiting for them to open. Most of the people that are waiting outside are definitely people that look like they would never have been there before. Very like nerdy, almost like people who don't typically party or get invited to very cool bars. So I would, am I correct in assuming that you guys would show up a little early?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
We need to, what? We need to get in there.
I'd love to,
I'm
like,
sorry to sidetrack us again. When did we decide? Are we doing the Mama's Magic Elixir before or after the Wainwright's? When is that happening?
I think they had implied it's like much later in the night. Mm-hmm. If I'm right.
Okay. So that's where we're taking the after party. All right. Good to know. Let the partying commence.
Yeah, maybe right. We could try to, even before Wainwright's open, like infiltrate the crowd a little and start to try and gauge public opinion. If anybody is actually talking about the election, or if it's just all party all the time.
So when do people start lining up? How early are people? Like, are people early or are people...
Yeah, I mean, like, even as you guys are like, okay, well, we've got a little bit of time to kill before Wainwright's, even as you guys make your way back to the marketplace, which I assume that you would, because that's where a bulk of the excitement is kind of going on. Mm-hmm. Even as you make your way there, you can see that there's, like, a group of about, like, 15 people gathering, and it's about 7 p.m. at this point. They're, like, 2 hours early.
Well, dang, that's super early. Mm-hmm. To be standing around.
These are my people.
What? I'm gonna do a thing. Mm-hmm. And then, depending on how well this goes, we'll see specifically what I'm doing. Hold on.
Okay, I'm very excited. Ooh.
That's not the best it could have been.
So what, how are you performing?
How do I roll to see how drunk I am?
Oh.
How do I make that happen? Where's my inebriation?
I know. I feel like you guys need to, for you guys specifically, you would all have disadvantage on it because I feel like you're usually 3 sheets to the wind. Let me have you roll just a straight constitution check.
Oh, heck yeah. That could have been so bad.
I'm going to say, so was the plan to get like quite inebriated?
No, I was going to be Finch's hype man, but only if I'm appropriately, I'm really sorry to have to do this to you all. Anybody familiar with the Big Bang Theory and that character that can't talk unless he's had like alcohol? That's kind of what's happening. I'm sorry.
First of all, how dare you?
I know.
And that was the end of the group. That's it.
I'm not proud of it.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I love that you just outed yourself as
my grandparents watch a lot of Big Bang Theory.
It's uh-huh.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Oh, uh-huh. I bet they do.
Listen. It's not my fault that it's on. Anyway. She's only charismatic if she's doing, you know, she's great at all of her various performance and, you know, gladiator type stuff, but I don't necessarily see her as somebody as trying to be out there just in general. Like, she's not just kind of, you know, so if she's had a little bit to drink, she's probably like being crazy and chatting up ladies in line and flexing and doing feats of athleticism and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
I feel like earlier, I mean, especially when she was dancing with,
oh yeah,
like in front of everybody. She was at peak, yeah, peak performance then, and like really in that perfect zone of just hyped and inebriated enough to be acting like that. And then I feel like after like Finch was on your shoulders and you could feel that she was about to puke, and then also with that weird kind of happening over at Tribe War Travelers, that she's definitely sobered up a bit by now. She's inebriated enough to think of this as an option, like, well, I could just get more drunk and everything would be great. So like it's at that point. It's still, I mean, for Bakhtul especially though, it's still a few drinks off.
All right. Okay. What's everyone else feeling?
I hate crowds, so I'm no. You do your thing. You talk to people. I'm gonna go write a book.
I'm gonna go into like the middle of the crowd, and I'm just gonna try and like listen, engage, like move around, see what different conversations are about. Is anyone talking about anything? Like I said, anything serious or election based, or is it all just party talk?
Are you hanging out in the group and your people of like that crowd of 15 that's early to Wainwright's, or just in the marketplace?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so go ahead and roll a perception. And I'll have you kind of like hanging out, half dancing, half listening. Okay, yeah. Nobody is talking about politics at all. Nobody cares. I mean, especially with like this group, they're all kind of having the same variance on the conversation of, you know, once I saw in the door of Wainwright's and it was so cool inside and I cannot wait. Didn't get an invitation last year, but this year I have it. And they're all like holding on to their invitations super tight.
And I didn't realize this was exclusive. Thought we got like a flyer. I didn't realize it was like an invitation. Okay, well, it doesn't seem like we're going to get anything out of them.
Do you say that out loud?
No. No.
Okay.
But I would say that I would like, once I realized that they weren't really saying anything all that important, I would go back to the group and kind of communicate that.
Okay, yeah.
Is there a place, like, within eyeshot, I guess you could say, of the entrance or the line or however it's set up that, like, one could sit, like, a bench or something like that?
I mean, sort of.
Some stones?
So, at the back here, where I just pinged the map, back on the south side of the tower, it's that, like, there are those two benches, and then there's, like, a little reflecting pool.
Yeah.
That is pointed towards Wainwright's, but the crowds are getting to the point now where it's difficult to see, like, the fence that separates the entrance to Wainwright's from the marketplace.
Oh,
yeah. So it's, I mean, you can tell, especially when you first got there, it would have been a little bit easier to see and kind of like hang out by the little reflecting pool to like watch it. But now it's hard to see who's waiting for that and who's not.
Is there anything like within this little perimeter? I don't want to draw, but is there anything like within there?
Within like the entrance? Not really. It's mainly set up as kind of almost like a parking lot sort of for typical times for Wainwright's, like a little exclusive carriage parking area. But now it's just sort of they instead of like barricading it off further, they just like lean into it, and it's just like standing area for people who are hanging out waiting.
Okay.
What's everybody else doing? How about Finch and Bakhtul?
Finch super wants to get into this place for people to buy her drinks. And she's kind of trying to not at all subtly talk herself up loudly. Yeah, because, you know, this place needs someone to be giving it good leadership, and there's nothing like a halfling to do that person is a good thing. I should do it.
Are you, like, in the waiting area of Wainwright's?
Yeah.
Okay. So at first, people are kind of, like, glancing over to you without moving their head just because you, like, are starting to talk louder and louder. And then they'll kind of give you that, like, polite nod, like, please stop trying to direct your attention at me. And then if you continue, a few of them will, like, actively sidestep away from you. But let me have you I'm sure, what is the first deception roll of the evening? Okay.
16.
Of the people that didn't move away, there are a few that are like, yeah. And then they just, like, forget about the thought entirely to themselves.
Cool. but she pretty much is, like, ready to get in there and work their magic.
Okay, so do you want to kind of be, like, bouncing around from whatever group to whatever group will have you to talk about yourself?
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
I like it. Awesome. So, Bakhtul, what's Bakhtul doing?
I don't know that orcish culture involves being particularly punctual. I don't think that Bakhtul knows how to be anything but, at minimum, fashionably late. What is the crowd like where we are? I know we're not quite in the marketplace, right? Or are we just on the outside of the marketplace?
I think most of you guys have been hanging out sort of, if not at the marketplace, like in that general vicinity of, like, the southern side, closest to Wainwright's. And also, yeah, as you see, like, the people that are standing waiting to get in 2 hours early, it doesn't even occur to you that they're, like, waiting to get in because, oh my God, who would ever do that?
That's silly.
And especially the vibe that you got when you first, like, introduced yourself to Harkness at Wainwright's. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely most people who know anything about anything or are of any importance, if they do show up at Wainwright's, they will be showing up probably closer to, like, midnight.
Yeah. What? I'm trying to think of, like, what shenanigans Bakhtul will get into. She loves party. If there is an opportunity to drink or flirt or gamble or just any kind of good party time tomfoolery, Bakhtul is in it. She is in the thick of it. She's having a great time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's gambling, Finch is there. Absolutely. We would be the best gambling team.
Where can we find, like, yield crap? That's the level she's trying to get on.
Yeah, I would think that. So I'm going to ping on the map here. So there's the marketplace that's just outside the tower. To the southwest a little bit, you have Wainwright's. There's a little bit of an alleyway that leads into the West Caravan campground. That would be, like, prime positioning for it. There's this kind of grassy area here. So it's just outside the campground. It's sort of around the fence from any prying eyes of the tower. And then right across from Wainwright's. Yeah, I'm sure that there would be some kind of, like, a back alley craps game going on there.
Nice. Yeah. Bakhtul is there. She is.
And also for Bakhtul, like, this is a delight for all the senses. Like, there are so many people partaking in so many different kinds of libations and excitement and gambling and, like, some fortune telling that you can tell is absolute bullshit. It's like the prime of, like, all the reasons why Bakhtul would like other people. Like, it's all there in this kind of, like, celebration of it's almost like a hedonism celebration.
Yeah.
Like
people
just enjoying pleasurable things.
Hell yeah. Wouldst thou like to live deliciously, Bakhtul? I fucking think so. Okay. Let's gamble. How do I fantasy gamble?
Okay. So, let's see here. So what we're going to do is anybody who would like to participate in gambling, it's going to be pretty simple. So what will happen is I, the dealer, will roll a d8 and you, the gambler, will also roll a d8, and whichever one is the higher number will win. You can place bets, and it will be doubled if you win.
Okay.
Yeah. Who wants in?
I do.
Absolutely.
What I'm working with right now. Okay. I'm gonna throw down 6 silver just to see.
Okay.
Oh, I already did it. Oh no.
Okay. That's fine. You throw down 6 silver, and you like you're in there.
Yeah.
You grab the dice. The dealer rolls an 8 and you lose your 6 silver.
Dang.
But you've definitely warmed up the dealer, and they are excited as the rest of your group or whoever from the group wants to come over and also gamble. People kind of make way.
Nice.
Yeah. I really want to watch. Like, I don't want to gamble, but Lux would be right up there, like, watching. So excited to see something new.
She's putting, Bakhtul puts down another 6. She's
another 6? Okay, 8. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I've rolled a throw. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You got it.
How did that happen?
So they push. They were like in the middle of pocketing your 6 silver as you slammed down the other silver, and they just like take it right back out of their pocket and like give it back to you.
Nice.
Finch definitely wants to get in there, and unfortunately for me, she has a serious gambling problem and is going to put down 10 gold.
Sounds great. Ooh. The dealer, there were some people who were kind of like laughing and milling about and just kind of like hanging on the fence and being loud. And as soon, you said 10 gold, right?
I sure did, unfortunately.
All right. As soon as you put it down, the dealer kind of like whips their head around and they cast an eye. It's a woman, by the way, who is a gnome, and she's wearing kind of like, it's like a velvet, I'm picturing like in Parks and Rec, the like cashmere velvet candy cane. It's like,
oh, yeah.
She's kind of like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so she's like, if you were going to lose to somebody, she is not a bad person to lose to. That means she's very attractive. In case you didn't notice. She whips her head around and scowls at the people that are just kind of like hanging out, maybe even making fart noises, and they like immediately disperse. Shit's getting really real. She makes you roll first.
Cool. I'm going to wiggle my eyebrows at her. It's a 1, dear listener.
She grins from ear to ear. She gives you a gentle wink, and she rolls anyway, just because she's that kind of person. And she makes a big show of like, okay, 5. Yeah, 5 is higher than 1. Okay, perfect.
Oh my God.
And with like a perfectly manicured hand, she scoops up the 10 gold. She's my favorite. I just decided now she's the best.
Oh, so painful.
I have a feeling watching everyone kind of migrate towards the back, I would have followed,
okay,
even though like my skin is crawling because I'm around so many people.
It's the crowds are a little bit thinner here, but you definitely get the feel of like some shit's going down, even though it doesn't feel like bad shit right now. Like it's a weird kind of a vibe over here.
I'm gonna like walk up to the table and be like, "Yeah, okay, me too." I'm going to put down 30 silver.
Nice. High rollers.
She's got these like little chubby cheeks and they're kind of glowing red, even like she's just so excited at everybody coming over. She'll have you roll first. She'll put out her well manicured hand.
Yeah, okay. Going.
2. Okay. Let's see if I can... And she gives the dice a gentle roll in her hand. She blows on it. She rolls it, and it is an 8.
Yeah, baby! I mean, that's...
That was great fun. What do I do now? What happens now? Where am I? Hi.
She makes a big show of kind of, she sweeps her plump arm around and just like scoops it all into her lap.
Nice.
I like her.
Bakhtul's putting down 30 silver because Arsene put down 30.
Ooh. Okay, we have to go again. Okay. And I just like plump down 30 more.
Oh no, that's, well.
I want you to!
Arsene is very lost and like, the
Lux is just looking like, operate. Lux is looking wide-eyed at all her friends.
She, okay. this woman is like almost bouncing in her seat. The what's left of kind of like the candlelight on the table or the sunset behind her is sort of glinting off of the velvet. And as she like bounces around excitedly and with so much energy, she looks at all. So it's three of you that have put forth 30 silver, right?
Yeah.
Wait, is it one roll per, or is it one roll from her to our three rolls?
I feel like you have to roll individually.
Yes.
Is that how it works? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
She'll put her finger to her chin, and she's smiling so much that her eyes are like very crinkly, and she looks at each of you, and then she points at Finch, and she says, "You first."
Finch looks high. Like, legitimately high. Little glazed eyes and, like, flushed face. Yeah, she's ready to go. It's a 4.
She falters for a second, and she sort of, like, sucks in air really quick. She looks like she is trying to show restraint, but she high, too. So she, seeing that it's a 4... She'll think like there's any way to like strategize this at all, which there's definitely not because you guys are just rolling dice. She'll think for a second and then she'll roll, and it
come
is
on, baby.
8 again.
Oh my god. This is cheater! Like you're gambling.
Do you yell cheater at her?
I will say cheater and then say just, I don't mean it. It was just a reflex. You're definitely a very honest, beautiful woman, and you're fine. This is fine. Just here, take my silver. It's fine.
She reaches out a hand towards you and sort of like caresses your cheek with her thumb and gives you a very gentle but firm slap on the cheek. Like, almost imperceptible. Like, just a little boop.
Mm-kay.
And then she's going to point at Bakhtul.
Nice.
Well. 4 as well. Without hesitation this time, she rolls. And she also gets a 4. Which she puts down, or she scoots, because she had pulled in Finch's silver. She pushes that silver to be kind of like lined up between the two of you. So she is doubling down.
Oh.
She raises an eyebrow to you.
Okay, Bakhtul is going to let out a hearty chuckle. Put down that she's going to match her. And here we go. I'm rolling now.
Okay. 5. All right, and she rolls an 8.
God damn. Okay.
What? Oh my god.
She wiggles in her seat and she very quickly does some like little claps and she pulls everything in. She's just letting it kind of like fall into her lap.
Yeah.
And then she turns to you, Arsene, and she kind of like claps 2 more times and then puts out both of her hands and looks at you eagerly to roll.
No, you want more? More? Okay, and I'll put down 8 gold.
So you have 30 silver on the table.
And I'm putting 8 gold down as well. Because I don't know how this works. I just assume because she put the money and then Bakht will put more money that I have to put even more money.
She's like, she's almost crying with laughter. And she says, what's your name?
Arsene.
Arsene. This is going to be so much fun, Arsene. Go ahead and roll.
Mama Jamma. What?
A 4. And she takes a deep breath. She closes her eyes. She clasps her dice to her chest and lets it fall, rolling a 4 as well.
Oh my lord.
She is over the moon. She is beaming. She is overjoyed. Anybody that was kind of like farting around or being a dickhead around her has come around to stand behind her. As she was scooping like gold into her lap, she was just scooping and scooping and scooping. So some of it is even like spilled over onto the sides. And those people are picking it up and putting it into her lap for her. They deftly pick out 30 silver and 8 gold and place it. And in front of her. And she looks to you.
I'm going to be so broke.
Bakht is going to put down the 8 gold. So she only has to front the silver. And she's going to give the lady a wink. And she says, for a date.
You wouldn't have had to pay me for a date. But I assume you're going to Wainwright.
Yes. And then she's going to turn for like a, she's going to like turn around and do one of those. Yeah.
She I mean, it before even it seemed like she couldn't smile anymore, but she's beyond beaming. She is on another planet. She is just thrilled and tickled. So much so that she just stands up and there's this huge sort of clatter of silver and gold that spills to her little tiny golden shoes. Yes. And everybody around her scrambles to pick everything up. She says, so it's a date.
Bakht is going to kind of like clap a hand to her forehead and like be like, oh, yeah, it's a date. And yeah, she just kind of looks to our scene like it's, I guess it's time to do the thing.
Put more money down?
If our scene hasn't, I'm going to put the 30 silver down for her.
Oh my god.
I already put it down.
Okay.
Wait. Yes. I want to do a thing that's like the opposite of intimidation.
Ooh.
I want to use my feminine wiles to distract this woman so that she rolls poorer.
Okay. Oh, okay. Let me have you roll. Ooh. I like this. Let me take a look here. I'm going to have you do... What if I just have you roll intimidation because it uses charisma, but we know that it's going to be the opposite.
Yes.
You're just like trying to distract.
I'm rolling distraction based techniques.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. 15 is something. I'm just flexing in the back. I'm just, I'm like doing that thing where I'm like, oh, I appear to have, my boot appears to be untied. And I prop up a leg and like my arms are like, I'm like flexing while I tie my shoe. I like wipe my brow, but like pause to like flex a bicep. I'm doing that.
She is giggling at you and clapping her hands again. And then while doing that, she turns to you, Arsene, and she says, go ahead and roll.
Okay.
Oh, a 6. She looks over to it and then she kind of does a double take, like she's surprised that you were able to roll so high. She takes another deep breath. She centers herself.
Flexing. I'm flexing.
And you're flexing. She goes to close her eyes and you can see that she springs one eye back open. Nice. And she's like watching you flex and she rolls.
Yeah! Yes!
She waves her hand. She doesn't look upset at all. She waves her hand to one of her lackeys that's around her to put the money up on the table, like the extra 30 silver and 8 gold. So you were getting a total of 16 gold and 60 silver.
I'm going to give the gold back to Bakhtul.
Okay.
And she grins at you and she looks up to you, Bakhtul. She's going to step up onto her little step stool that she was using as a seat. And she says, worth every penny.
Oh my God. Bakhtul is blushed green. In fact, I think she like goes to be like, it was a pleasure, ma'am. And she's like, it was a pleasure, ma'am. She like turns on heel and walks away from the table. And then she like thinks better of it. And she like turns back and like shoots her a real awkward finger gun. Because now they have a date. And then she just keeps, she's not collected any of her friends. She's just walked in the opposite direction of the gambling parlor.
I'm headed to wherever a bar or barkeep is.
Lux is going to look at Finch to see how she's doing with all of this.
Yeah.
Finch has healing. Finch has a lot of feeling. She's ready to go.
Okay, I'm gonna run up next to Finch and just like, you know, try like grab a drink on the way and put it in her hands.
Thank you. Thank you.
Free drinks for halflings, remember.
Yeah, exactly. Free drinks for halflings.
This has, God, who would even notice? I feel like Lux might even notice that this sort of scenario that's playing out with like one crying friend and being plied with alcohol seems like it's being played out all over the marketplace. Like things are going to hell fast here. Like everybody at the same time is getting too drunk too fast. Overall. So yeah. So where are you guys all just like heading into the marketplace to drink?
Wherever the closest alcohol is where.
Yeah.
I feel like you couldn't what's the saying? Probably something
you can
off.
Throw
of,
a rock.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all around you. So yeah. So I mean you wouldn't technically have to move more than I would say like 10 feet from where you were, but I feel like everybody has a reason to kind of press further in.
I'm going to go wherever the dwarves are serving alcohol.
Okay, yeah. So that was over on the eastern side of the tower, closer to like the temple area, on kind of Evermore Way.
Okay, I'm going to go over there and chit chat with them.
Okay, cool. And Bakhtul, I think you were the first one that headed off. So where did you end up?
I think she kind of, at one point, she realizes Artie and comes to her senses. Like, oh, I should find them. So I think I'm going to meander in the direction of the scene.
Okay, cool. And then Lux, where do you kind of guide Finch to?
Back to the reflecting pond, I think, first.
Okay, yeah. That's a good move. That's a
and
good
you said
move.
There's a bunch of, there
Everything
were like bards, performers.
Awesome. Everything is fine.
You know, Finch, you never got to teach me. Remember that night you were teaching me all the sea shanties? I barely learned any.
Yeah. I can teach you sea shanties. I know so many sea shanties. I used to shanty all the time. Did you know that? Did you know that I lived on a ship with all my friends and now I don't and I miss them so much?
No, I didn't. No.
It's fine. I'll teach you this shanty. I know it's about dolphins. Do you like dolphins? Have you ever seen a dolphin?
I've never seen the ocean.
You've never seen the ocean?
No.
Oh, that's so sad.
No, it's great. It was going to be so exciting when I finally get to see it. I've read
Can
a lot about
together?
It.
Of course, thank you. I wouldn't want anyone else to show me the ocean. Yay. You're obviously the master of it.
The master of the ocean, I am. I like that. I like it a lot. I like it. It's my title now. Finch, master of the ocean? Only I don't have a ship, but it's fine.
We will get you a ship.
She wants to teach a shanty about dolphin.
Okay. Let me have you, I'm going to have you roll performance with disadvantage to see how well it comes across. To see if you can actually, outside of the blubbering, if you can teach your, oh yeah, hell yeah. You know the shanty so well. Like the back of your hand, you know the shanty.
I only ever sing it drunk.
I would like to try and get like the crowd singing along. Like I'm going to try and come in.
Okay. I like it. Would Finch like keep on repeating it if she saw that Lux was trying to like learn? Okay, yeah. It will take you a little bit of time, but you eventually are seen in Bok-Tul. You can hear some drunken cry singing that people are sort of drunkenly singing along with, and it sounds suspiciously like Finch.
And they weep in the sun, it's so pretty, yeah they are, they're shiny, and they're great, and I miss them a lot.
Did we manage to procure any bourbon alcohol?
Absolutely. The lady is kind of surly, isn't really prone to like, it's her booth is surprisingly pretty popular. Mm-hmm. So she's just kind of slinging them. She's not stopping to talk.
Okay.
She could be pressed too, but it doesn't seem like she's like off the bat real chatty.
Okay. Arsene, have you taken the bourbon libations?
Oh yeah, I'll have tried to chat her up.
Sweet.
And like maybe even tried to like go behind and help.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah, at first she doesn't even say anything and she like forcibly pushes you away. And then if you look like a little upset about it, she'll let you at least like hand her the mugs or the tankards and like wipe off some things. She'll let you help a little bit. Is there anything in particular that you try and chat to her about?
I'll send you a message.
Okay. Yeah. So after all of that and the chatting and stuff, what are you doing in Bok-Tul?
I am going to meander in the direction of the sad dolphin sea shanty.
Lux, have you like propped her up? Like, is she above the crowd in some kind of a way?
Yeah. Yeah, I do imagine. I don't know how, but I've kind of tried to lift her up on my shoulder. I'm attempting.
Okay.
Maybe there's like a bench, and I'm also using half the bench.
They're wrapped in a trench coat, pretending to be one half elf singing sea shanty.
Yeah.
Yes.
That sounds about right. So, is there anything else that you guys want to try and accomplish before heading over to Wainwright's?
I'd like to make one more little stroll around the tower in the marketplace and see if I can overhear any conversations, specifically looking for like mentions of Sharky or the election or the Lord Protector.
Okay, yeah. Roll me perception one more time. Mm-hmm. 10. It's kind of devolving into madness a little bit. There are some people who at first it seems like they're talking a big game about local politics, but it's sort of just drunken rambling about how awful the whole of the Sword Coast is in general. Nothing really super specific, but just a lot of like everything shit, right? It's awful. So a lot of like that kind of a thing. But yeah, it's hard to pick out anything in particular. It seems like it's not really, nobody really cares about it right now.
Cool.
To Wainwright!
Okay.
All right. So, you guys while away the hours, eventually the crowd is joining in with a very like affected sort of like piratey speak version of the sea shanty about beautiful dolphins and how shiny they are and how much they miss them. There's lots more drinks that kind of go around. Is everybody drinking during this whole time as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Lux does not drink. Right. Lux only smokes.
Ah, perfect. Yeah, as the crowds pack as well, it seems like there's more and more people that are like coming through smoking as well. I don't think that there are any real laws against it in Tribor. It's just less widely acknowledged, I'm going to say. Yeah, so by the time that you can start to see or that you even notice that Wainwright's is open and people are starting to filter through, everybody's got a pretty good buzz, high, drunk kind of a vibe going on. As you guys notice that people are filtering in, do you immediately head over?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so, and also Arsene, I'll reply to you privately about what you're able to kind of like chat with the dwarven woman about.
Okay.
Yeah. So as you guys sort of like get in line, everybody is just really excited to be heading into Wainwright's and kind of like chit-chatting about what it's going to be like inside and what their cousins, brothers, uncle told them that it would be like. Bakhtul, are you also going in, like right as it opens?
Right as... But I guess if there's nothing, like if her... I think she's committed to like hanging out with her friend group at this point, so like if they're on their way in, then she will also be on her way in.
Okay, cool. Yeah. On the way in, there's somebody who is begrudgingly checking invitations at the door. A big sort of like a muscly hulk of a woman that appears to be human, who doesn't seem to give a shit about anybody that's filtering through. If you guys all present your invitation, she looks it over, flips it over onto the back, and draws a big X on the back, and then hands it back to you and is already holding out her hand for the next person. The second that you guys get inside, it's like the atmosphere has instantly changed. Even though there might not have been that many people in front of you guys, it seems like the place is already like packed to the gills, and you don't understand how more people could be coming in or even how there is so much room inside. What would first call out to you is directly across from where you enter, and it is super, super dimly lit inside. There are these sort of gas lamps that are all around, and they all have these beautiful sort of like flame-shaped bright red glass protecting the actual flames. So everything is sort of this like dim burgundy red color inside, with sort of like dancing and swaying like fairy lights, like almost like literally fairy lights up around the sort of corners of the ceilings. And it's this like super, super tall building. The bar that is directly across from where you enter, there is a mammoth of a skeleton. A mammoth of a skeleton that's hanging behind the bar keeps. There are three of them that are on duty because it's like one of the longest bars that you have ever seen in your life. They are working hard and fast, and there's one of them that's like doing that thing where they like toss the drinks, but it's not bullshitty. It's very cool. And like occasionally you'll see a sort of like arc of flaming liquor that like sort of shoots up behind the bar. And occasionally they will grab toes off of the skeleton that's hanging above the bar and pop it into drinks. And then sort of like once that drink is consumed, wipe it off and then put it back up onto the skeleton. It smells like earth and fire and sort of sweat in a really good way, like very I don't know how to say it, like carnal BO kind of. It smells like hedonism in here. Yeah, that is kind of the vibe of Wainwright's. What is
where are the
doing?
Tieflings?
You don't see any tieflings.
What?
So what is everybody doing as they enter?
To the bar!
I'd be asking, Boktul, did you say you've been here before?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I am taking the scene.
I think you cut out a little bit. I heard up to you, I am letting...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so I've been here before, and I am not leading anyone anywhere at this point. I, as they had, and letting everyone kind of take in the full specter.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Is that the word that I? I'm letting you check out Wainwright's.
Yeah, it is. Everywhere you look, there's sort of like, if you look towards the ceiling where these kind of like dancing fairy lights are, there's even like small, it seems like skeletons of creatures, like small kind of animals or like even gnomish kind of figures or like weird skeletons that are like either like it looks like they're drinking together, they're posed like that, but almost painted or worked into the stonework of the building. It's very morbid but fun in here.
Are there any that are out and big enough that I can like get in, like inside their ribcage and just like hang out in there?
The most accessible one seems like it's the one above the bar.
Oh, darn.
I bet it's above the bar.
All right. Well, I'm thinking about it and wishing that I could. Just all so right. Everybody knows.
It's also a surprisingly like respectful crowd in here because like so many of these people haven't really like they haven't witnessed the celebration of St. Oswin's at Wainwright's, which seems like it's a place to be, definitely. So they're respectful of each other and of each other's like time and all that good stuff. So as you make your way to the bar where before or maybe at other places you would have had to like jockey to get up in there and to like be paid attention to, they're very attentive here. And Finch or anyone, as soon as you go to the bar, the barkeep meets your eyes and nods to you and says, "What can I get you?"
"I heard that there were free drinks for halflings here."
"I'm sorry, you are mistaken. That is tieflings. What can I get you to drink, though?"
"That seems unfair. I'm just saying that seems unfair. But I want a fire thing. Get the fire. I want fire."
"One Wainwright special. You got it coming up." And this is a young, sort of like a half elf, a very like lithe and slight framed young man. And they turn around. They first pull off a toe from the skeleton and they pop it into a glass and they make a big spectacle of pouring this drink for you, with like dashes of fire, arcs of alcohol going into the air. And it's topped off with like a flame on the top of it, and they push it to you. And they say, "Don't swallow the toe. It's a hefty fine if you do."
"Whoa. Okay.
All right, do you drink it?"
"Heck yeah."
"It."
And I don't swallow the toe.
Okay, sounds good.
So can I, like, you know, like, like you have it and then just like suck on it? That sounded weird.
You want to like suck on the toe.
The toe.
Canonically, Finch has a toe fetish.
Been decided.
Dang.
There's nothing you can say or do about it now. Yeah, you totally can. And as you do, the bartender sort of like shudders, but like lets you do it, doesn't stop you from doing it. This drink tastes like ozone. It somehow, even though it was like on fire and you don't even know what all was put in there, but tons of different kinds of alcohol and mixtures and types of things were put in. It tastes like ozone. It feels like getting caught in the rain on a summer night and watching the lightning strike right next to you. Make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, dang.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, like, you do that thing where after you have a really strong alcohol, you go, whew. You definitely do that, and you feel like these are dangerous. You could see that somebody could have maybe two and unconscious. Like, it is very strong. After you put the toe back in, the bartender pulls it back to himself, kind of wipes it off, puts it back up on the skeleton, and then he leans in close and he says, "That one was on the house."
Oh, my hero!
None of the other ones will be.
Okay. I would die if I had another one, so that's all right.
What's everybody else doing?
I'd like to size up the bar and see if I saddle up there and I like hop myself up onto a stool. Can I like see the selection of like alcohols that they may have?
Yes. The bar itself, it seems to stretch on forever. It's probably a good, I'm going to say like 70 feet long. Like it's fucking long. It's a huge bar. And every inch of it is covered with like different types of alcohol and things. It's kind of hard to like make out exactly what everything is, but you can see some bottles like aren't in the common alphabet. Like there's a little bit of everything.
Okay. There's something I had in mind that I just looked up. It's completely out of game.
Okay.
But can I send it to you to see if they have it?
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. I'm just going to send you a screenshot. Then I'll send you this entire link because it's pretty dang cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, they...
Because I would think with, like, its location that they most likely would have that.
Yeah.
Or know how to make it.
Yeah, you might... If you ask for that specifically, they'll think for a moment to themselves and they'll ask if you know what's in it. And then they can kind of guess the rest. Is that what you order?
Yeah, 100%. Like, if I'm going into this night, I'm going in.
You're going all the fuck in. Okay, yeah. Let me look at the full-on link. So this is the thing that is called a dwarven thrower, and I like the idea of the limitations that are on here. It does say that you don't feel the effects until you stand up, so we will... you definitely have one. They can kind of guess what's in it beyond everything that you can name. And it tastes a little... Has Arsene had this kind of thing before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
I have had it and I have made it.
Okay. It tastes surprisingly really good. All of the bartenders here are elves. So you wouldn't think that an elf would be able to nail that kind of like... I'm imagining it's kind of savory. Sort of like a little savory, maybe a tiny, tiny bit spicy that you wouldn't think that they would be able to catch like the nuance of those kinds of flavors. But they really, really managed to nail it. And it's a little bit sweeter than you're used to, but not in a cloying kind of a way, in a really unique sort of a way. It is delicious. And you don't feel a thing.
I'm going to buy one for everyone.
Okay, perfect.
I'm going to say, you guys got to try this. It's not as good as I would make it. And I'm going to give a wink to the bartender. And I'm going to just say, but you got to try this.
He'll humbly bow as you wink to him. Is everybody going to drink theirs?
Oh, absolutely.
Free drinks for Halfling!
Without hesitation.
I'm going to do, like, one of those where you want to, like, hug everyone at once, but you end up just, like, grabbing their shoulder and shaking them a little. That's okay. What I'm doing with everyone. Like, now that I've had a taste of home, I'm kind of warming up to the idea of being around people.
It's a little bit thick too. Like, it's a heavier drink, but it is unlike, I think, anything that most of you guys would have had. Maybe Bok Choul, you might have had something that was similar to this in the places where you fought, where it was mainly like dwarves that were running it. It's definitely like a celebratory drink. Very, very hearty, and you can feel it almost instantly. And I feel like you would feel it instantly to the point where you would be a little bit worried for our scene, like appearing to be fine.
I am going to lap down just kind of like a handful of gold on the bar and just say, another round for my, not of the throwers necessarily, but a round for my friends here.
Oh, come on!
The barkeep smiles and leans into you warmly and says, what would you like for everyone?
Bakhtul's gonna say, surprise me, but make it orcish.
Absolutely. So he pulls back for a second, like he braces his hands on the bar and he just sort of like leans backward and puts his head up in the air and is kind of like drumming his fingers on the bar. And then he shoots up a finger and he turns around and he starts whipping something up into these tall tankards. As he's pouring it in, it looks almost like blood, like it's a little thick as well. It's this deep, I mean, everything looks red in here, but you can tell it's like a very deep burgundy red sort of a color. He sprinkles a type of it looks like a powder on top, and he pushes the drinks towards you guys, and he gives you a little wink, Bok Choul.
While the bartender was making the drink, I still am holding the dwarven thrower, and I'm just gonna try and like look around me for anyone that looks a little down, and and just kind of like hand it to them.
Okay, yeah. There's maybe even enough distraction that if you're trying to do it like slyly, so as not to insult anyone,
exactly,
you definitely can. It's kind of like packed with tables just right behind the bar, and these weird sort of like. It's at one point up against the wall, it's almost like stadium seating, but it's like booths in there. It's a weird mixture of seating in this kind of place. Yeah, there's definitely people who look like maybe not even a little down, but they're like between rounds. They're like glancing over at the bar like they want to make a run really quick, but it's just not the right time or they don't know what.
Yeah. The first person that looks like they're really looking for a drink, I'll just hand it to them and come back.
They'll you hand it to them, and they say, "Oh, thank you so much. I just couldn't even stand up to give you it to the bar." And then they stop serving me a drink, and wouldn't you know? And I really just wanted to have a drink, and I think that you should have this. And they press something into your palm.
Can I look?
See what it is? Yeah. So it is, it looks at first sort of, I mean, it's like the same shape as a gold coin, but as you go to put it in your pocket, you notice it feels like a little bit heavier, and it has some sort of like a weird different, maybe not weird, but like it's not an actual gold coin. There's some kind of like inscription on it that isn't in common.
Okay. Could I try and quickly read it, if it's any of the languages I can read?
Make an investigation check.
Okay.
I'm going to say with disadvantage, because it's, like, really dark in here. And there's just, like, a lot of distraction.
Understandable. It would be a dark skeleton atmosphere in Swiss.
It's hard to even make out like what, because it appears to be a coin of some kind, so the writing on it is so super tiny. It's hard to tell even what language it's in.
Okay, I'm gonna put on my like right hip outside pocket and okay. Just go back to the group.
You got it.
Did Finch drink the drink?
It's been strength to drink.
Yeah. Okay. With you, Finch, you might not have, like, really, you, if, I mean, like, oh God, what am I even trying to say? So you wouldn't have really have registered how absolutely drunk that you already were as you were drinking this. This is, like, a lot for you. This is, I'm not even going to have you roll a constitution saving throw. That's how much this is.
Is there a bar stool? Are there bar stools at this bar?
Yeah. I mean, you'd kind of have to, like, wait for it to open up. But, yeah, one can open up.
Okay. Well, I'm just draped over it. Yep, just draped over it, kind of singing to myself with my, you know, arms flailed out. Just like you would just throw a rag over a thing. That's like me. Like a rag.
Wait, are you on your stomach or on your back?
On my... I'm imagining stomach, but also I'm like, maybe that would be bad because maybe I would throw up. But I think she would probably just go stomach.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if she ended up on her back, Bonk very delicately pick her up and turn her back over. He does it like 68.
Seeing what, like, how you're draped over your bar stool, the person on the stool next to you does like a double take and then a triple take to look over at you, and then kind of shrugs and decides maybe they'd like to try it, so they also lay down on their stomach and are kind of like making like swimmy, floaty, flying motions with you.
Just good thing to do.
It seems like they're as drunk or maybe somehow surprisingly even more drunk than you, and at one point they will attempt to like lock hands with you.
Yay!
Yeah, so that's what Finch is doing. I think, like, at this point, even the bartender would have brought over these orcish drinks and have four in his hand and then, like, look confused because there are two of you ready to receive a drink, and then kind of shrugs to himself and sets them down.
I'll take two. I'm going to look at Bakul and I'm going to hold my drink out to her.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's gonna kind of look at Lux and then, like, nod knowingly, like, I know you don't drink, friend. And then, like, double fist the other orcish drinks and clink them celebratorily to our scene's two drinks.
And I'm going to, like, kind of look at Bakul while I'm drinking them and try and drink them faster than she is.
Oh, it's so difficult. It's like the consistency of an eggnog, kind of.
Yeah, I don't. I'm gonna try and drink it.
Yeah,
a
like
friendly competition. Like, I'm looking at her and I'm looking at how fast it's going down. I'm like, no, I'm drinking it faster.
We've both got like just this. It looks like we've like bitten into a side of just the side of a cow. Not even a side of. We've got this like terrible red liquid running down the sides of our mouths, like onto our clothes.
This, as soon as you see kind of the way that it's set up and the tankard that it's in, you'll recognize this is super, like, you struggled to recall what this drink is at first and whether or not it's actually orcish or he's maybe just like pulling something on you. Mm-hmm. But it's a really traditional drink that was had before the night of a big hunt, like centuries ago. Nice. It is a really, really old school drink, very thick, very high in alcohol content, and typically traditionally what will happen is you toss it back as fast as you can and you smash the glass at your feet once you're done with it.
Yeah, absolutely, that's positively what happens.
Yeah. As you do this, the bartender will cheer in a way that like indicates to everybody else to cheer, so like half of the bar is cheering with you as you smash this one. Arsene, do you also, once you get to the point of finishing your first one, do you also smash it? Because I imagine Bakul has finished her first drink first.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, as soon as like Because I heard her order an orcish drink. Mm-hmm. So if she's doing it, I'm doing it.
Okay, yeah. This drink tastes a little like there's kind of an umami to it, but it's almost, it's in a really, really pleasant way. It's got a little bit of heat again, but it has this rich sort of like a chamomile almost, like a nutmeg. It's like a spiced, almost like a chai, like a very alcoholic, meaty chai kind of, but sort of fiery. And yeah, like absolutely, as you smash it down and like look to each other, it looks like you're just like full on that you have just eaten like some type of a living creature that was currently living while you ate it.
I'm gonna start on the second one.
All right. Let me have you both make constitution saving throws. Arsene, you will do so with disadvantage. Bakhtul, you will do so with advantage.
I rolled a 21.
21. You are holding it very well. Arsene, as like halfway through the second one, you get a little like, and then you kind of like hold it back. You smartly think to pull the mug away from your face for a second. Take a deep inhale, let it go, make sure everything is okay, and then you continue tossing it back.
Arsene, are you left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay, then we're gonna clasp left arms.
Oh, hell yeah! Oh, Arsene is into this! I'm gonna start, like, pounding my foot on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a sort of, you can only hear it occasionally, but there is somewhere moving through the crowd, there is some type of bard that is playing the bagpipes very loud. But somehow it's like drowned out as they move from section to section to section. It's mainly just a din of people yelling and cheering and sort of like singing drunken songs in other languages that you don't even recognize. Lux, what are you up to?
Lux is just kind of sitting at the table with them, smiling happily to herself that her friends seem to be enjoying themselves.
Cool, yeah.
She's also going to look around a little bit because this is all before stream. But in my invitation, originally it had my sister's name on it. And so I will look around like throughout the night, just looking to see if I recognize any halflings, specifically my sister.
Okay, yeah. It's hard to kind of see beyond your table even. Like, it seems like the way that the lighting and this weird seating is set up, as you're looking around for other people, you can tell why they set it up this way and why there's a sort of like a roving bard that's playing bagpipes of all things. It's designed so that anyone can have a really private conversation in this bar, even while it's packed or empty or anything. It's hard for you to make out beyond the small section that you're in, like distinguishing features or anything of the people around you. There's definitely opportunity for you to like kind of get up and walk around if you wanted to. Like, it's not, there are so many people that it's not going to be like weird for you to do so. But as you're sort of casually looking around, nobody really calls out to you that has like a really familiar face.
Okay, that's cool.
Is there anything else that you guys are doing specifically in Wainwright's?
Have we finished our beverages?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. I am going to loudly announce to the rest of them that I have, oh, actually, first, have I seen Harkness at all? Is he around?
Maybe a little early on. He would have come up to the bar to like clap a hand on one of the barkeep's shoulders and like whisper something into their ear quickly, mm-hmm. and just kind of like take a quick look over the bar itself and then make a move to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Do you call out to him?
I would say probably.
He looks a little lost at first, like he is definitely in work mode, but it's kind of like scanning the crowd quickly. When he sees that it's you that's calling to him, it takes him a minute to register And then he recognizes and realizes who you are. And he, with a big smile, comes up and claps you on the shoulder and grasps your arm, like goes in for a handshake.
Nice. I'm going to do the thing that I often do, which is kind of like clap them and that thing, grasping forearms and clap on.
Okay, yeah. He is, he looks like a little bit like he's looking around, even while he's talking to you, just trying to make sure that everything's going well. Mm-hmm. And he like goes through a couple niceties of like, how are you? And I'm so glad you came. And are you guys having fun?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's nothing else, then he just kind of like, he'll quickly make excuses to
leave. I'm going to message you a thing that I would have done while Finch was ordering drinks.
Okay, yeah, go for it. How is Finch doing, meanwhile? Will she have attempted another drink?
I think she doesn't even know how to pick up a mug or glass at this point. So I think that even if she had tried to pick up another drink, it would be all down her shirt or all on the floor. Like, nothing's getting to her mouth. Because she's too drunk. I hope that my boyfriend isn't here. It's not a good look for me.
The person that you've clasped hands with, maybe you even have, like, not really registered that you're, like, still holding hands with somebody. They lift their head up, and you can hear that it's, like, a male halfling voice. And he says, oh, you have a boyfriend? Oh, man. And he sort of, like, goes to, like, let go of your hands. But he doesn't, like, pull his arms down. So if you're still holding his hands, his arms are just kind of, like, limply in your hands.
Yeah, I don't think she knows that she can control her hands, so she's probably still holding on to his hand.
Okay, yeah. If I can have everybody except for Bok Chul deafen themselves. For those listening at home, Bok Chul has said that while clasping or clapping Harkness on the back, that they slipped a gold piece into his tunic and asked about tonight's password. Wainwright's has a sort of a private room where the most elite of Tribor spend their time, and it is password protected. It changes every evening, so only those really, really in the know would have any way to get in. Bok Chul, after you do that, he sort of pulls away and he thinks for a second and he says, I don't know if I can give that tonight. I mean, any other night, you'd understand, but you know what? Let me see what I can do. And he'll make a move to leave.
Okay. She's all right with that.
Okay, cool. I almost sent you just privately a message that it was okay to return, but yeah, so at this point, especially Bok Chul, you can feel there's a gentle tapping on your, are you sitting or standing?
I have not yet sit down.
Okay, yeah. That tracks. So there's a gentle patting that's on your kind of like upper thigh to hip area. And if you look down, there is a delightful young candy cane of a woman who is wearing velvet and cashmere.
Oh, no.
You okay. Can even see that she is beaming here and now. There's a sort of like a powdery, like a baby powder, sort of like a sweet scent that's coming off of her as well. And she smiles up at you and she says, I'm glad I was able to find you in here.
Finch is. Yeah. And like, kind of usher and said, could I get you a drink? And heads that off over to the bar.
Okay. Yeah. Do you head with her? Or you just like leave, you make a beeline for the bar to like get her a drink.
I'm going to follow behind her. I'm going to, like, do that thing where I, like, point in the direction of the bar and kind of, like, follow her up.
Okay, yeah. She will Nod kind of coyly and head up to the bar. The barkeep definitely recognizes her and she'll gently nod to him and he begins making a drink for her.
I'm gonna put down however much I presume this thing. I'm just gonna put down an amount of coins. That seems like a reasonable amount to buy another human person or another person's beverage.
When you do that, he returns with what looks to be like a clear, thin, tall glass of something with lots of condensation forming on the outside. And he says, oh no, there's no need. She's already taken care of.
She's gonna kind of like go ahead and like she like picks up the money in her hand and like looks at it and then she like extends it and then she's like, no, that's, and like puts it in her pocket. And her, actually, she puts it in the terrible leather hip pouch that she wears at all times.
Okay, cool. Maybe like the least fashionable thing about Bokchul is her, yeah, the equivalent of like a cell phone holster.
Yeah, I've decided that she just kind of dresses herself. Seriously, I've decided that she just dresses herself in the things that she considers to be the most orcish, but they don't have any correlation. She's just wearing bits and pieces of orcish bullshit. Doesn't make any sense. She looks like she's ironic. It's not. She just doesn't. Okay. No one's ever stopped her and told her that she looks crazy, so that's what she looks like.
Okay, yeah. She'll the small woman will like, again, like, it seems like she's always smiling, but she'll sort of like wrinkle up her nose in like a friendly way at you, mm-hmm, when you do this, and she'll lean in towards you and she'll put like a hand flirtatiously on your arm and say, I don't think I even learned your name.
She's Bokchul. My name is Bokchul Moog. Pleasure to meet you. And she's gonna do this weird little curt thing where she kind of like puts her forehead to her brow.
Puts her forehead to her brow?
No, that's no. She puts her, like, she makes, that's not it. She makes a fist and puts the fist to her forehead between her brow. That's the thing that she does.
Oh, that is such a Bokchul thing to do. Okay, yeah. She'll repeat your name back to you like a couple of times, and as she does that, she squeezes your arm, like feeling your muscles.
She is so sweaty. She is she's sweating buckets at this point. She doesn't know that she's ever been so sweaty in her entire life. And she's gonna kind of go, have I introduced you to my companions? And like gesture behind her without actually looking to see if they're there, and just kind of like turns to see if there is in fact any of her companions behind her.
I don't think that you have introduced me, but I'd love to meet them.
Is there actually anyone behind me?
Yeah, where how did that all shake out?
Where are y'all?
Yeah.
I haven't moved.
Okay. Presumably Finch is still belly flopped over the stool. Okay. Then I'm just going to kind of like turn around and like realize that it's like Lux sitting at a table. My like dwarven friend who still has like red and Finch who's clasped hands with a halfling belly flopped over on a stool making swimming motions. And I'm like, these are my companions. And I'm going to like turn back. I'm going to turn back to the woman and I say, and where are my manners? What is your name? You have the advantage of me.
I do, don't I? I think maybe I prefer it this way. I don't think I'll tell you my name just yet.
Okay. She's just like, of course. And she's gonna like make like a curt like, get over here to Arsene, I'm making the gesture. It's like when you like flip your hand in towards yourself, like get, but you're trying to be secretive about it. Uh-huh. Yeah,
yeah. She definitely notices. And she is sort of like giggling to herself.
Is Bokchul still right next to me, or am I gonna have to stand up and walk over?
I think that you're going to have to stand up and walk over to her.
God damn it.
Do you having, do so?
Having had that drink in the past, I'm gonna take my sleeve and I'm gonna wipe my mouth. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna straighten my top out. I'm gonna kind of, you know, loosen my neck, and I'm just gonna prepare. I'm gonna take a deep breath in, and I'm gonna stand up.
Everything goes black. You are immediately unconscious.
Okay.
So you see our scene. Anybody that's like paying attention will see our scene look a little terrified for an instant and then just kind of resigned. You see her straighten herself up and get ready, prepare herself, stand up, and then just like face plant, just fall face forward.
Lux is panicked and goes over and casts Spare the Dying.
Oh no.
So you go to cast Spare the Dying. There's a sort of like gasp that goes over the crowd that it strikes you. It's maybe too late for them to be gasping at our scene having fallen over. And as soon as you're sort of like manifesting that energy towards our scene, there is a pair of big burly arms that come and scoop underneath your arms and begin physically ushering you out of the building.
What's happening? Why?
Bok'tul has turned. She's like, wait, hold on. Hi. Hello, friend. This is simply a misunderstanding.
The woman your date, Bok'tul, for the evening, she is like laughing so hard that she's crying, and she is sort of like waving a hand around, like to kind of get herself to stop and also to attract anyone's attention. And she is trying to stammer out, "There's no magic allowed here," and being unsuccessful in doing so, she resigns herself to like leave her bar stool cover and put her hand on the bodyguard that's currently trying to take Lux out and say, she didn't know. She had no idea. I think it's okay if they stay. And the bodyguard, instead of paying any attention to you, Bok'tul, will look down to this small woman and say, oh, I mean, I guess if you say so, if you're really sure, all right, that's fine, but no more.
Oh, no, of course not. I didn't know, and I won't ever do it again.
They won't really regard you. They will head back to their post at the door.
Thank you so much.
How is our
Thank
scene?
You.
Our scene, what typically happens when you pass out after having drunk too much and also a thrower?
Okay. So I'd like to paint you a picture. Imagine you've been at Disneyland all day. Or maybe you've been out swimming and it was a very hot day. And then you come into a nice, dark, cold, chilled room. And you lay down on those cold sheets and you just do a belly flop and sprawl. That's kind of what I'm at right now. I'm just like I've just accepted it.
So completely sprawled out is our scene snoring probably.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like, other than that, like if you flip her over and like take a look at her, she seems fine. Not even like a broken nose from the fall, surprisingly.
Okay, I'm gonna like look back to our scene. And look back to my date and go, if you would excuse me, and just kind of like scoop up our scene and like sling her over my shoulder, fireman carry style. And then before I'm gonna turn back to my date and what did you say your name was again?
Oh, I didn't say, but I guess I can tell you now. My name is Sharky.
What?
Dun dun dun! Buckshell's gonna kind of do what I just did, which is she's gonna like look hand, mouth open. She's gonna close her mouth. She's gonna turn. She's gonna look at the woman. She's gonna go, and like just take, just find somewhere to lay our scene down, and also figure out what is happening.
Yeah, like since our scene is unconscious, there's like a group of people nearby that will see that you're like trying to put her somewhere, and they'll like leave the table but like clear away the glasses if you want to like lay her on top of the table.
Yes.
Can I have everybody make a perception check?
I'm gonna skip that.
Okay. Yeah. Surprisingly, I think that you fail.
Oh yeah.
Oh, should we say ours out loud?
I have rolled a 19.
Yes. Lux, what did you roll?
I have rolled a 6.
And Finch?
8, but I can't believe that it would be higher than Lux.
Yeah. Well. That would have been my response. At this point, while you've got your arms around Arsene, Bok'Tul, you are the only one that notices that Sharky is beginning to slip through the crowd.
She turns, she whips around, got Arsene, and against her better judgment, she kind of shouts out, I'll write you, and then like goes back. To figuring out what to do with her really just inebriated friends.
That's very good. Sharky just laughed exactly like that. Okay. So I think that that's a really good place to end it for this evening.
No, you're lying. It's not.
It's a cliffhanger. This is not okay.
I can play for like 8 more hours.
Yeah. Yes, that's so. So I think that was a great place for you guys to end it. And I was so scared that you weren't going to get to that point. But hey, you did. Oh, she had y'all dead rats. Okay, let's go down the line and let's introduce ourselves. Let's start with Finch this time.
I'm Sophie and I play Finch. And you can find me on Instagram at Sensitive Selkie or on Twitter at Perfect Remedy with this spelled R-H-E-M-A-D-E-E. Wow, that was really hard to do that.
I panicked for a second, like at the end, and I was like, oh my god, I don't know where it ends. And then I got really relieved that I wasn't the one who was saying it, so I didn't have to.
Yep. Well, that's okay. Me.
Awesome. How about Ash?
Yeah, I am Ash. You can find me on everything as Forget Lee Not. That's L-E-I-G-H Not. And if there is an orc to be loved or an 80s band to yell about, I'll be doing it.
That's like the best endorsement, I think. How about Lauren? I don't know why I'm singing all of these, but there you go.
I'm not alive probably anymore in the game. I'm Lucky Misfit on everything you can probably ever think of.
Okay,
that's,
cool.
That's me.
Think of it and she's there. She manifests.
And click your heels 3 times and put a marble in your nose.
Exactly like that. Please don't put marbles in your noses. And how about M?
Hi, I'm M. I am the Rushing River on Tumblr, and that's about it. I play the halfling cleric of Sarenrae, Lux.
Exciting. And I, as always, am Chris, your DM, trusty or otherwise.
Otherwise.
You can find me just about everywhere as Irradiated Lady, like I have been exposed to radiation, and I'm a lady. Irradiated Lady. And that's about it for this week. Join us in 2 weeks when everybody has had a chance to panic a lot and stress out a lot about what's going on, and I'm excited for it because I'm just that kind of DM.
But that is about it. We will see you next time. Bye.